Oh, that wasn't in there, was it? How many know it doesn't have anything to do with your natural father? You can have a natural father whose last name is Trump, and you can be a fool and lose everything. Wealth doesn't guarantee long life. But your heavenly Father says it to you that your days are numbered, and the hairs on your head, He knows the number of them. He knows everything about you. He knows everywhere you're going from this day forward. He knows what's coming your way. He has prepared His blessings for your life because He wants people to see that you have been blessed. Listen, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The more you learn about Him, the more you let the Word affect your life, the more He says, I can give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you're going to know things that people don't know, and you're going to have a wisdom about you that makes you to prosper, because He never takes those that have wisdom and revelation and makes them fail. That have said, I want to know Him. And He said, I'll give you a spirit that you don't carry the spirit of this world, or you don't carry the spirit of heaviness on you. You carry the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and you start walking a different path because you've started to learn the gospel that started this, all this in my life, is the gospel that's going to give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Have you ever talked to people in their problems and you begin to tell them what the Word says, only you don't tell them it's a Word? You just start talking it. And they go, how do you know these things? Amen? I had hurt my back. I was off for 9 months. And they were going to make me a delivery driver. My pay would have went from $17 an hour to six something an hour. And they sent me down to a clinic in Portland. And they started examining me and looking at me. And I was almost the whole day talking to somebody different. And I started talking to a physiatrist, Ricky Ricardo, psychiatrist. And I could, you know, as he started to question, you guys are really uptight this morning, aren't you? And I could, as he was talking to me, he wanted to find out if I was a faker or if I was real. And I could feel that thing just trying to get a hold of me and try to take control of me with questions. And I said, God, I'm about ready to rebuke this guy. Because if he makes a bad decision for me, all of that gets taken from me. And I said, God, what do I say? And He gave me the Word in conversation. And I started repeating what God was telling me. And He'd stop and He'd look at me. And He'd get frustrated. So He'd start another line of questioning. And the Lord would just speak something to me, the scripture conversationally. And I'd just say that. He goes, I'm done. I'm done with you. I'll make my report. So I went all day long like that. And I had to take these tests. And it was like a what kind of a person you are test. What do they call them? Anybody know?
No.
Huh? Personality test. Thank you. And I had a personality. I knew that. But every once in a while they'd throw in, do you think people are talking about you? Do you have fears in the night? They go along, you know, what do you like? You know, chocolate or vanilla? What do you like, cookies or cake? And, you know, just go along. And then all of a sudden it was, do you think people are following you? And I'm going, hey, what are you doing here? You know, so I went all the way through this, and we got at the end of the day, and I'm sitting at the table, and this is a big decision for me. And before I went, I said, God, You're in control of this. You're going to bring the results. And if they had decided against me, I would have been admitted to their clinic for 6 weeks for intensive rehabilitation, but not to return to a good job, but to deal with how I think, how I feel, all of that. And they got in there and they sat around the big table, and I was sitting up towards the front of the table, and the guy looked at me and he says, "Honestly, we can't even find a reason why you should even be here today." But you see, it was the Word that set me free. It was the Word that set me free. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him was in me because I'd been listening to the Word. You thought I forgot where I was. I'd been listening to the preaching for years, and I did not realize that it was in me that much until it came to that critical hour where it meant my liberty, where it meant I had to be controlled by men again. I had to do what they said. And God freed me by the power of His Word. And your calling, the reason you are even sitting in this building today, is the calling came to you somewhere in your life, and it was the Word that spoke to you, and it was the Word that drew you into a divine life to be lived in a natural world. Two things that are just at opposite ends. Two things that would seemingly be a conflict. But I want to tell you, the Lord is going to give you the blessings of the earth. You remain a spiritual person and a divine natured person, and I will guarantee you God will increase the things and the blessings of the earth in your life. But it starts with this. Does it impart a spirit of wisdom and revelation to you? Are there things that you hear that it's a revelation? It's something new. It's something different. It's something that's yours. It belongs to you. And it's all in the knowledge of Him. That's why I don't patty cake the Bible. Because somebody's life may depend on it. Someone's resource for their life. It may come down to what this Word is talking to you and how it's calling you out of what people or circumstances are trying to hem you in with. You don't have to listen to the world and let them be your God. You have a God that has given you the Spirit and the revelation of wisdom and revelation in you so that you understand what to do. Hallelujah. You have a calling and an election. You're chosen. You mean something to God. Don't debase yourself. Don't cause yourself to be in lesser degree. Let God elevate you in your life. Hallelujah. Your Christianity, as I said, does not depend on the things of the past that you're carrying with you. It depends on how many of those things that you let go of your life. It doesn't matter. Let God take care of it. Amen. You got a calling and a choosing in your life. And it's not some person that chooses or calls you, that favors you, that puts their favoritism on your life. It's God that does it to you. Hallelujah. And He will confound this world by the things that He does in your life. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the mystery of how to be a success as a Christian and to be a success in this world and have the blessings of God upon your life through the things of the world and through the things that come to us spiritually. How many know we got spiritual things the world doesn't have? That's a blessing to your life. But He said, I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. I don't want you to know just what the world knows. I've got things that the world doesn't know and can't even entertain and get a hold of. I want to give that to you because there's a spiritual impetus that comes with it. We know when to go. We know what to say. We know where to go. Somehow we just get there. The fork in the road, right or left, what do we do? I'm feeling kind of left-handed today, even though I'm right-handed. I'm just going to go left. And you go that way, and you don't really know why you went that way, but something spiritually in you made you go that way. And when you did, you found the blessings of God. Now, most of you have not been in third world countries. Most of you have not seen the demon possessed. How many has ever seen the demon possessed? Wallowing and foaming at the mouth, ripping their clothes off, attacking people, trying to kill them. The demon possessed go outside of the natural ability. I've seen them jump straight in the air 5 or 6 feet high. I told you when I was in Haiti about praying for that woman, there was a commotion behind me. And I looked, and the team that we'd gone over with was trying to rebuke the devil out of her. And they looked and saw me looking, and they went, "Help." And I got mad. And I went back there, and this woman was taller than me. There's a lot of people taller than me. But this woman was taller than me. She was around 6 foot. And I tore my way into that aisleway, and I got people out of the way, and I got a hold of her, and I started rebuking the devil. And as I did, she bent over backwards, and her feet stayed flat on the floor, and her head touched the floor behind her. And I'm thinking, we're winning, God's winning. And then she stood back up. And when she stood up and faced me, I felt this holy indignation in me, and I got mad at the devil that he would make a show of himself. It was in a church service. And I rebuked the devil out of her. And when I left, she was collapsed on the floor, and there were people coming to help her. And I walked back up, and I stood there, and I said, "You rotten, lying devil, you tried to disrupt this service. You will have no power." And I mean, my blood was coursing through my veins. But you see, we face things in our life. That spirit could overtake that woman and cause her to do the unnatural. God's spirit can overtake you and cause you to do what normally wouldn't happen for you. How many want that in your life? People say you're going to fail. God's going to confound them. How? Because he's going to give unto you in the knowledge of him. The more you learn, the more you get in God. Hallelujah. You're going to have the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that you may know. That you may know. He doesn't want people that don't know anything. He wants people that know something. You know, there's too many people going around spreading all these doctrines in the church so people can know. Well, it doesn't give him any power. It just makes him an irritation. God said, "I want you to know something." So it's a spirit that comes from me that's of wisdom, and it's not a spirit of error with it. He talks about the spirit of truth and a spirit of error. There's a spirit of holiness, but there's a spirit of wickedness. These things fight against one another, and sometimes people don't realize it's in the church. But if they had the spirit of wisdom and revelation, they wouldn't let it get a hold of their life. Now, it says that you may know what is the hope, the confidence, or the expectation of his calling. Why are we walking around mired in our problems when he says, "I will give you things that will enhance or give you confidence in the hope of what I called you for"? I didn't call you to fail. I didn't call you to be downcast. I didn't call you to go through life miserable. I called you so that there was an expectation and there was a confidence in you that if today's rotten, tomorrow's going to be better. But we're going to get out of this thing. Why? Because you are the called. And that's the life you deserve. And that's the life that the enemy tries to steal from you. He tries to steal the joy out of your heart. Hallelujah. Don't let him steal from you anymore. You know, we are given the right to be the chosen with spiritual power. That's our right. But we're not given the right to glorify our flesh because of those rights. If you really thought God was in you, and some of these people that prance all over in church and really make themselves to be somebody, if they really thought God was in them as much as they're showing, they'd be so humbled. They would have humility in their life. But they don't. And people run to them, oh, look at them, man, they got the power on them. They got the anointing on them. But they're so full of themselves. God says, that's not why I chose you to get full of yourself. No flesh should glory in his presence. If God's with him, there shouldn't be any glorying by the flesh. Verse 19. And we're also to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. If you believe, you've got something coming. There's something coming your way. I think sometimes people just forget that I have things from God that he's going to send to my life. I'm a believer, but there's not much happening. There's not much coming my way. But it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? And it's according to the working of his mighty power. Now, this exceeding greatness of his power is this. It's the dunamis, or it's the miraculous power. He can make you give him a 25% raise. He can send people your way and make them be a blessing to you. He can send people that'll help you get to where you need to go. There'll be an open door. They'll know somebody. They'll know a way. They'll know a name. And they'll cause you to be blessed, and it'll cause you to be opened, and things just work out for you. He'll cause it. It's a miracle that they came. It's a miracle that they stopped by. It's a miracle that you get what you get sometimes. How many know that? Hallelujah. It's a miracle. You say, well, you know, I haven't seen anything for a long time. That's why he talks about the hope of the calling. You got to stay until it comes. You got to stay until it manifests. You say, well, I see everybody else getting it, but not me. You know, the world will go by sight. The Christians are supposed to go by faith. Amen. How many's ever been out on a outing for a day or whatever, and you ran out of water early in the day, and you had a full day outing, and you got to the end of the day, and you couldn't wait to get home and get some water? Insignificant, mindless water, but suddenly it had become the treasure of your mind. You couldn't wait to get home to get water. Hang on, things are coming. That dunamis power is the empowering, listen, from God to us to do the work of God. He has something to give us. It's the miraculous. Say, well, I don't know if I'm quite ready. How about we get ready? How about we believe for things and not be disappointed if it delays? Because the longer it delays, the more precious it becomes. You know, they'll work themselves night and day to dig gold out of the ground. They'll go to the lengths of their life. They'll spend all their money to buy all the equipment to go get the gold. And a little bit of gold comes out like that. They find a nugget and they are just as happy can be. But you see, we don't count things precious that God has waiting for us. And we need to. And we need to have that hope of the calling that he has called us with. Listen, he talks about the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, according to the working of his mighty power. That mighty power is his power only. No person possesses that power. You do a word search in the Bible with a study program, and everywhere that this word power is mentioned that I just talked about working according to his mighty power, that power is only exhibited by God. And when he talks about us getting things and having things, he said there's going to be something that comes to you, but he said there's something that only I can do for you. We need to become God-dependent, not God-independent. Amen? I want to be God-dependent. Oh, that's a weakness. You need to You know, you need to get out there and do it for yourself. That's what everybody else does. I'm God dependent. I depend on God. I've been through enough trials. I learned that that's the only thing that really works. Amen. Amen. It's His power that works just for you. It's like God saying, let me do this for you. It's like God saying, I'll bless you in ways you can't bless yourself. It's God saying, whatever I tell you, I can and I will do for you. How many know your calling should be getting more valuable in your own estimation? When you hear these things, you ought to say, I'm important to God. If I am important to God, then God will make Himself real in my life and people will see it. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and verses 11 and 12. For 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 11 says this, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would come, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. What calling is that? The calling we've been talking about. How many see he says, count you worthy of this calling? And fulfill, that God would not only count you worthy of this calling, but he would fulfill all of the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power in your life. How many want God to work, have the work of faith in power for your life? It's going to take the power of God to change it. It's going to take the power of God and God working for you to bring to you what you need in your life. We might as well give up trying to do it ourselves, and we might as well turn to God and let God help us and empower us and treat us as a person of success instead of listening to the world that's going to make you strive and fight for everything that you get. That's where the pride of man comes in. I got this for myself. And God says, I could have given it to you. I could have handed it to you. God will let you work in your hands to get ahead. He'll let you do that. But he's just waiting for you to say, when are you going to trust me? Because sometimes our hands bring us too much. So how's that possible, Pastor Rick? The work of our hands can bring us a Mercedes. I'm working on it, but I started at Honda. Can bring us a Mercedes, or it could bring us a 10,000 square foot house, or it could bring us vacation homes in the Bahamas and in Hawaii. It could bring us all these things, and you know what would happen? Our mind would be occupied with all the things that we got ourselves. And people do that. Christians do that. But he's talking about you need to be counted worthy. He would count you worthy. In other words, that what that tells me is he's looking at us, and he's counting. What do I see in them? Are they worthy of this calling that I called them with? Because I called them out of their self to find me. I didn't call them out of their self to find their self. I called them out of their self to find my abilities and my power and my spiritual endowment for their life. I called them out of themselves. But he said, they've got to be counted worthy. Now, how many know salvation is free to all? And this might mess with some of your heads. Well, what do you mean? I got to earn this thing? Nope. You just have to let the character of God take over your life and you start being counted. He's counting patience, mercy, kindness, faithfulness. He's counting. You say, well, I just don't know about that. How many of you wives know your husband had to be worthy? If not for you, then your parents, you're marrying him? I don't know if I'm going to let you marry him. Some of you husbands, I face this. They didn't know that she was every relative's favorite. She was their favorite cousin. She was their favorite niece. She was their favorite granddaughter. She was their favorite. And here comes me. unfiltered, hard-nosed, hard-headed, big-mouthed. I know this is hard for you to believe. And they're going, this is not what we had planned for our favorite little Kelly. And they even, one of them wrote on the present, we had to go open our presents, and they, from Uncle and Aunt so-and-so to Kelly and. And so me being gracious, kind, easygoing, wise, sage, I just looked at that and I went, and they weren't all there. All those that were at the wedding were not there when we opened our gifts, because we opened them the next day before we took off on our honeymoon. And I just went, oh, to Kelly and whoever showed up, to Kelly and just some guy, Kelly and the guy we don't really like enough to put his name on the present. And they were sitting in the same room. And I just went on. And I know that's hard for you to believe that I would go on. But I went on and on and on and on. That's what I get for marrying everybody's favorite. I've been through some hard trials in my life. I just want you to know that. Listen. Verse number 12, 2 Thessalonians. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him. How many know, counted worthy of the calling? He says, when you get there, you'll be glorified in me, and I'll be glorified in you. People are going to see something. That counted worthy really means something. It really means something. When God counts you worthy, there's things going on that He sees. And it says that word calling is this. It's the word that's used describing one who God declares worthy of His calling, which He has commanded to be given him, and therefore fit to obtain the blessings that I have for him. How many know God is not going to call somebody out? Maybe you don't know this, but He's not going to call somebody out and let them remain in their sins. Because the purpose of salvation was to eliminate the sin out of our life. I mean, understand that. That's why He talks about being counted worthy. And I know people said, but His grace and His mercy, He will deal with you to get you to the right place. But listen, it's just 12:01. Just listen for a little bit more. Worthy can be the controversial word as it applies to what a saint receives in their life. Because some think all the promises and all the power are to be received by all. It is when you're counted worthy. In other words, there's a responsibility. There's an accountability. How many know if I didn't study and I just got up here and read the scripture all year long, you would put the accountability on me that I didn't make an effort for you. And you wouldn't come here. Right? But we start talking about people making themselves accountable to God, because God sees all, knows all anyway, because He wants to count them worthy of His calling, because He has things to put into your life and it's going to exceed and go beyond what the world can do for you. He doesn't want you acting like the world or having the nature of the world on you. There's an accountability for all of this. You know, take this in the right spirit today. It's available to all. I said it's available to all. And that's the mercy and the grace of God. But people can take those things. You know, the receiver has to be able to hold it and not pervert it. The receiver has to not easily lose it or the value of it or make it common by taking the divine nature out of it. Amen. This is accountability that we're talking about. Now quickly, I'll give you this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. There's evidence. There's things that he asks us to do to be counted worthy. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly. There's number one. Your faith has to grow. It means there's life in you. If you're growing, you're alive, correct? None of you are a baby this morning. You're adults because you grew, because you were alive. The next thing that he goes on to say here is that not only that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of some of you. Oh, I misread it again. I keep doing that. And the charity, which is agape love, not natural love, not love in the world realm, not love for your family, not love for only the people you know, the agape love, where God so loved the world. So there has to be this change of the type of love that we have. Instead of a love for ourselves or a love for a few, this charity, it's love extended to every one of you. Because whenever love is in the house, unity is there. Whenever unity is there, the power of the Holy Ghost is there. Verse number 4, it says, so that we ourselves glorify in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations that you endure. There's two more, patience and faith in persecutions and tribulation. You don't lose your witness, your testimony, or your walk when persecutions or tribulation comes. You keep it. It's proved. It becomes stronger. Now listen, all of these things he's asked us. He said these things to be in you. Verse number 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also you suffer. There's the last thing that makes us counted worthy. We suffer for the kingdom. How many know when someone does us wrong and we react, the first thing they're going to say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. You suffer the wrong for the sake of the kingdom. And when you do, he said, it makes you worthy. It's another thing that I put on you. But by the way, all of these things that I've said here and listed that the scripture has said, all of these things make you stronger. All of these things make you have more faith. All of these things prove that God is alive in you. All of these things make you a better person. All of these things will make you to stand out before men and before God. And when God counts you worthy by the things that he sees in your life, he knows that he can elevate you in the eyes of man, and he can promote you, and he can bless you and put you ahead in whatever you need to be put ahead in. He will do it for you. Why? Because you have been counted worthy by the Christian character and traits of the saints. You have proved it instead of just giving lip service to it. What's wrong with the church today is they give too much lip service to things. And when it comes time to walk in it or to prove it, they struggle because it's just been lip service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are counted worthy, Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 34 and 36, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. He's talking to his disciples. Your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. He knows that people, and he's talking to his disciples first, those that were most influenced because they walked closely to him. He knew that life could get a hold of even the very elect. If it were possible, the word says, even the very elect would be deceived. But we don't take that seriously because we're not realizing that there's an accountability on our part. Now, nobody likes to hear a message on accountability. But you know what? It opens the door to the blessings of God. We're going to leave this world with a shout and not a whimper. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this. The shout, you know, April 23rd, everybody mark it down in your calendars. We're all going home to Jesus. Yep, there's another nut. 23rd of April. Why am I a nut? 23rd of April. Jesus said, no man knows the hour nor the day. And now the world's looking at him. And guess what? When it's April 24th and the world is as it is, you know who they're going to badmouth? Him and you. All Christians. It's all Christians. They're all that way. We bear the punishment of the weirdos as well as those that don't even serve God but say they do. We're going out with a shout. And the shout doesn't start on the day that we leave. That shout has been developed because we've made ourselves accountable to God and we said, God, I want the things in my life that make me eligible to leave this world with a shout. And I'll tell you, when that hour is revealed, it's like loading up all the fuel for the journey, and we've got it all in us. The shout's been being put in us because we've had all these attributes in our life that we just read this morning. There's tons more, but guess what? It gets easier. You get a few in you, and it gets easier to get more. But we'll be so fueled and ready to go that the shout, which has been prepared in our life, is going to come. Hallelujah. And the world is going to be left behind. He said in verse 35, for as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. In other words, people aren't going to be able to prepare themselves. It's going to be like a trap. I didn't expect that. I didn't know that. I didn't see that coming. For as a snare, it's going to come on just the sinner. Nope, it says the whole world, you and I. So accountability, which they won't do, is what we will do, and it'll prepare us for that day. Listen, verse 36, there's a couple more things. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How much more clear can it become how important accountability is for us? It's important to those that are around us, but it's more important to you and your relationship with God, because one day it's going to enable us to escape and to stand before the Son of Man. And it says, counted worthy to do so. Counted worthy to do so. This is not an everything goes and how you look at it is the right way, even though it's different than everybody else and you're just unique and you're different. God's going to take care of all of that. How many know there were five wise and five foolish virgins? Let's stand to our feet. The five foolish did not prepare their lamps with oil. They had the lamp. They had a wick in the lamp. But they couldn't light it without oil. They couldn't turn it up and make it shine brighter. Accountability. They didn't have the wisdom or the forethought that the day would come that in the midnight hour, there'd be a call. When you least expect it. I don't know how you are at midnight, but I'm not very intelligent. I'm not very aware. I don't know what's going on. It takes a while for me to wake up. My wife sometimes has talked to me in the middle of the night, and I'm thinking, why is she talking to me? And I try to stay asleep. You know, those that aren't prepared, sleep is a blessing to them. Hallelujah. I want you to receive what God has for you. Amen. Let's pray today as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you for the power of your word to change and to transform your people and to elevate their life and bring them into a life that is blessed. The accountability that others refuse is what you are looking at to promote your people, to fill your people with your power, to fill them with the Spirit of God, to fill them with the gifts and the callings of God, to fill them with the blessings of God. Because when they are accountable, Lord, they can hold what you're doing and pouring into their life. Bless these people. Cause their eyes to see the things of God and their heart and their spirit to feel the things of God and to walk in the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation that you give to those that are accountable. In Jesus' name we pray and receive today. Amen. God bless you as you go.